things that you're dealing with in your life. You cannot sit there and, like, for an example, when I was sick in December, I was in a pit. I went into the guest room of my home, and that was my pit. I was having a pit tea party. I'm sitting there doubting God, not knowing what was to come. And see, that's our biggest problem. When we start to not know, we get things out of our control, and then we start to feel like, what are we supposed to do? You're supposed to call out to God. That's what he wants you to do. That's why he puts you in those situations. That's why he put you there so that you can cry out to him. If you never had to call on God, if you never had to use him for anything, you wouldn't know how good he was. You wouldn't know where you stood in his life, because you have never had to use him. You've never had to try him. So at all costs, when I was sick, I was telling you, when I was sick, and I was laying there just in my pit trying to put on this face for my family, my mother 150 miles away, and she's worried about me, and I'm laying there in my pit. So you know what I had to do? I had to call out to God. So when you're in your pit and you feel like there's nothing else to do, just always remember to call out to God and trust him, because he will deliver you.
God bless you. God bless you. Good morning to everyone. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you so much, Sister Taffany, sharing with us this morning that there is a place in God that will deliver you from either the pit circumstance or the pit mentality. Whatever is has come upon you to plague you, to take you under arrest, today God says that deliverance is near you right now. I am so happy to be here. What an awesome week that I have had in the Lord. But you know, that's the way the Lord, that's just how he do it. He just makes things better. Amen. And I want everybody to just let that be their testimony. It just gets better. Hallelujah. I welcome all of our family that is with us today here in this assembly in person. My son is here with me today. I had a day with him yesterday, and he surprised me to come in this morning. Pastor Corey Roden, I'm so glad that he is with me this morning. And he said yesterday, Bishop, I would get the whole family, but you don't know what it's like when you start getting the rodents together, and two of them about this tall. Man, it's more than a chore. So I told him, okay, that's all right. I understand. I've been there. I've done that. So I've gotten to the place of grandchildren now. We know what it's like trying to get children together. Isn't it amazing how on Sunday mornings, like, the best come out of your kids? I mean, I've been that kid, you know. On Sunday mornings, they don't do like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. On Sunday morning, it just looks like everything in them starts to come out. Isn't that amazing? But to all of our guests that are here with us this morning by way of the live stream, we welcome you. We want you to go ahead and call a friend now and let them know that we are here. Nations Harvest Sunday Services online. And our hosts are there to make your experience a great one. Those of you that are getting into this online experience, you don't really text and you don't chat, but you may be a little challenged. That's all right. You can get in this service when it's time to say amen. Just type it right in the chat box when you feel it. And if you can't do anything else, just start typing some letters. Maybe somebody will think you're speaking in tongues. Amen. But we want you to just enjoy the experience this morning, because we are glad to come to you. This morning, we thank God for his goodness. We thank him for his grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't feel no ways tired, come too far from where I started from. Nobody told believe I'll say that again. I don't feel no waste time. I've come too far from where I started from. Revelation. God, give us the information that we need that is gleaned, gathered from the scriptures, so that today, God, in this human form, I'm able to make the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ a truth by which we are made free. Now, Lord, we know that this is not based upon my feelings and my opinions or that of others. But God, this is your word, and it is by your word, oh Lord, that we establish, that we are established in faith. And I'm asking you right now, precious God, let your Holy Spirit, the High Sheriff, arrest us, God, and if he bring us into his, into the premise of his power, that today somebody will be delivered, somebody will be made free. God, somebody have tuned in this morning. Someone have come into this building this morning because they need you now, Lord, to come in and to take charge in their life. Give direction where direction is needed. Answers to questions that are asked. Solutions to problems that have arisen. And now, God, we know you and we know your power. We know that you are able. We pray that you will, in the mighty and the magnificent name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Again, we welcome you. And today I'm going to move expeditiously and reverently to the Word of God. I'm inviting you today to the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7, and the context in 2 Kings surrounds Israel being sieged by the Assyrian army. Israel is being sieged by the Syrian army. And in those days, the dominating force or the dominating army would simply bring all of their possessions to the battle. And they would stage outside of the inferior city. They would surround the city. The dominating force would surround the inferior force. And they would bring all of their goods. They would bring all of their possessions when they come to stage against an inferior city. They'd sit outside of that inferior city, and the dominating army would basically set up their tents outside. And they would wait. They would wait until all of the food supply that is inside the inferior city, all of their victuals that they had to survive, they would wait until their food supply expired. And when everyone become hungry to the point of starvation, that was one of two things that they could do at this point. They would either die inside, or they would try to escape, and because of their weakness due to hunger, they would be killed so easily by the dominating force. And of course, over a period of time, as the dominating force would be on the outside, you could see how easy it was to take over that inferior city. These are the circumstances here in 2 Kings chapter 7. The Syrian army has surrounded Israel, who is the inferior city. And we pick up in the story in chapter 7, verse number 3, where there are four lepers. Beginning at verse number 3, the text says, and there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate of the inferior city, which is Israel. And they said one to the other, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there, of course, of starvation. And if we sit here, we will die also. Now, therefore, come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die, since we're going to die anyway. And they rose up in the twilight. I imagine that somewhere 3 a.m. and sunrise. They rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to the other, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight. And they left their tents, they left their horses, they left their asses. They abandoned their camp and they fled for their life. The men who had leprosy, they reached the edge of the Syrian camp. They went into one tent. They did eat and they drank. They carried silver and gold. They took raiment and they went and they hid it. They came again and they went into another tent and they carried it thence. And they went and they hid it. Then they said one to the other, we shouldn't be doing this. We should not be doing this. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. We shouldn't be doing this. We're keeping this all to ourselves. If we stay here till morning light, I believe that something bad is going to happen to us. So here's what we're going to do. Let us go back and tell the king in Israel and all of his household. I want you to look at somebody and I want you to say this with me. My past prepared me. I need you to say that one more time. My past prepared me for such a time as this. And who doesn't need a plan for a process in such a time as this? It's not all political. It's not all global. Crises now are individual. And everybody needs a plan in their own mind for their own selves for such a time as this. Because when it boils down to it, it's not going to be what others are doing, but it's going to be your faith. I find it remarkable, extremely remarkable, where faith is found. I find it remarkable, and I am thoroughly convinced that faith is not contingent upon who you are, where you are, or what you have. Because if that were the case, then faith would be the strength of the privileged. And people who were disenfranchised or who had no privilege wouldn't have faith. It is actually interesting to understand that faith connects us to God, our spirit to his spirit, through the word of God. And faith literally and actually has nothing to do with our circumstances, nothing to do with our finance, nothing to do with our background. It has nothing whatsoever to do with any of that. Because faith is simply that mandatory entity that connects you and I to God. The same way, when I think about faith, God's word, and his spirit that connects me to God, in the same way, I must address my senses. Because in my physicality, it is my senses that permits me to operate and be connected to my world. Physically, I'm connected to my world, but spiritually, I am connected to God. In the same way that my faith connects me to God, my sensual perceptions connect me to my world. Let me help you. If you were to take away my hearing, take away my eyes, take away my ability to smell, take away my ability to feel and to touch, if you take away all of my sensual perceptions, you will have completely obliterated my ability to operate in this world. Because the only way that I can function and operate in the world is through my sensual perceptors. I could have powerful legs in my body. I could have great hands. But if I had no sensual perception, imagine, then I would not be connected to my environment in any manner whatsoever. I cannot, however, take my sensuality, which is my sensory perceptors, and then switch it around and try and communicate with God. I can't do that. I can't do that, because my sensual perceptions does not operate in the realm of the spirit. Spirit is not operating on what I see and what I touch and what I feel and what I smell. No. I said that to say this. Faith is not an elective. It's not just something to have as an extra, but it takes faith, and faith is an essential part of anybody who intends to walk with God. Can you say amen? Because you cannot touch God. No, you cannot see him with the naked eye. You have no physical presence as it relates to your walking with God and dealing with God. Because when it comes to dealing with God, all of my sensory perceptors have no effect at all. You cannot please God in the flesh. Yes. To deal with God, you have to deal with God as a spirit, because God says, I am a spirit, and they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And the only way to operate in the spirit realm is by faith. Amen. It is faith that brings me out of my physical And I can do this at any time and at any place. I can come out of my physical by faith. And I can move into my spiritual. How? By faith. It does not matter what my financial capacity is. It does not matter what my family background is. It doesn't matter who my mother or my father are. It does not matter whatsoever who is who to me, because nothing material dictates what faith is all about. God, it doesn't matter how mother's doing. It doesn't matter how father, sister, a brother is doing, because physically that has nothing to do with my faith. Anybody who intends to have a relationship with God has to have faith, because you can't have it no other way. It's not a physical thing at all. Can you say amen? Amen. It doesn't matter how much you have in your pocket right now. It doesn't matter how people view you right now. It doesn't matter about your anatomical makeup. Your eyes or your ears doesn't have anything to do with your body or your physique. It has absolutely nothing to do with these things when it comes to God. It's all about having faith in God. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. It's interesting to note this, because it is not the king of Israel in the text. It is not the king that God is about to deliver this city over to. No. It is not the king of Israel that is about to have a victory. And you would think that if it's the king in his relationship to God, that when God got ready to move, that he would move in the king, because the king in a physical sense is the man who represents the man on top. But no, it is not the king that God is about to deliver this victory over to. No, it's not the military that belong to the king that God is about to deliver this victory over to. Because you would think that all that the king has to do is to unleash his military forces. And of course, God, through his power, would give them the victory. But that's not the case in the text in 2 Kings chapter 7. God is simply going to use four unobtrusive sick fellas. I just can't find a better way to put it. He's about to use fragmented flesh. He's about to use messed up, used up, tossed out guys to deliver all of Israel out of their calamity. You would have thought that at this point in our day and time, that it's time to set off the nuclear bombs, to release the special forces, because this is how victories are won. But imagine that when you get over in the spirit realm, that God can use the most unusual things to show forth his mighty power. Can you say amen? Now, I wonder now, when I look at this, how and could it be possible, while I'm thinking here, that God has strategically placed you? Yeah, point at yourself. God has strategically placed me in a position that if it were not for you and your faith in God, that some people around you that have more than you have, in better positions than you are, imagine that God is about to use you and your faith to help them, because they can't help themselves with all that they possess. I'm just going to just say, I mean, it's okay if I just imagine. Is it okay if I just use my imagination here? Imagine now that God's going to use you. Go ahead and say, little old me. Yeah, little old you. I mean, sometimes God gives you the faith unimportant you, uninvolved you. He gives you, the person who is least expected, he gives you to operate in power with him. That is the one that God is going to use right now to bless and to lift a whole lot of other people. Somebody's still saying, me? Yeah, you. Mm-hmm. He's going to use you to lift a lot of other people out of their calamities. Yes, some people seem to always have it all together. Can you say amen? And you know folk like that. You work with people like that. They got it all together. Yes, financially they got it together. They have it together in their residence. They have it together in their careers. Their children got it together. They're going to the top schools. They all got it together. They got a plan of action no matter what, you know? Just like these military men that are in Israel. They got swords. They have weapons. They have axe. I don't know. They have everything. These military men, they got it together. Mm-hmm. And they are ready for whatever could go wrong. They had a plan of action, just like the king that is in Israel. When I look at him, this man had never suffered anything. A king doesn't have to lift a finger to do anything, nothing whatsoever. He has someone to wait on him hand and foot. You all may know some people like that. They kind of were just, I mean, what do you all say? They were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. They never really knew what it was like to struggle. But then God looks at the king and he looks at the military and he says, I'm not about to deliver this thing to the military. I'm not about to give this victory over to the king. But I, God, am about to deliver this victory over to someone who is totally on the outside. And they are so on the outside that they are not in the mainstream. I need you to say that with me, the mainstream. And I need to talk about that for a minute in a digression, because it's not a bad thing to be in, to not be in the mainstream. Can I present that to you? Right. It's not always a bad thing because you're not in the mainstream. And I'm simply saying it's not a bad thing because you're not in the clique. It's not a bad thing because you're not in the group. It's not a bad thing at all. Go ahead and admit it. It's not a bad thing because I don't get the recognition that other people get. It's not a bad thing at all. Why? Because when you don't move by the group in the clique, then to me that suggests that you have a mind of your own. Mm-hmm. Somebody grab that. Uh-huh. It means that if you're not in the group in the clique, that you have a determination to survive on your own. And while everybody else is pulling everybody else down, because you're not attached, while they're bringing harm to each other, you who have a mind of your own have nothing but raw determination. Hello, somebody. Uh-huh. Maybe God is looking for somebody right now who's not in the group or who's in the clique, who is not caught up with the mainstream, but God is looking to deploy somebody right now who says, God, all I have is you, and I'm going to trust you no matter what. Can you say amen today? When I look at the scriptures, and I look at them a lot, I can readily know what's being preached, and I've heard what's being preached, and I know how it's preached. It's interesting here because when I look at the scriptures and I hear these things being preached, you know, I see a totally different demonstration when it comes to faith. I've heard faith preached, but when I look again, and I want you to look with me, and I'm going to bring up a couple of accounts where I want you to reassess, reevaluate what faith is all about. Take the woman that had the issue of blood. She had a bleeding issue. Amen. She had to be away from everything and everybody. Leviticus 19 sets the record by law what she could and what she could not do. Because Leviticus 19 scribes in the law what a woman who is bleeding can and cannot do. It is there that it shows that she had no way to come into the presence of the temple. So you know what that means? She couldn't go in the church. She couldn't go in the synagogue. No way. She couldn't get in the presence of anybody because of her condition. She was supposed to simply stay away. Are y'all hearing me? She couldn't even, you couldn't even sit in a chair that she had sat in because that chair was considered unclean. Yet still, this same woman who was ostracized by society, she found in her heart and purpose in her faith that if I could just touch, oh my God, the hem of his garment. Do y'all hear me? Yes, I believe that I will be made whole. And then was it not the centurion? When I look at his faith, he was not mainstream. No, but the centurion, he was an enemy to the Israelites. So he was not allowed in the synagogue. He was not allowed in the church. But is this the same man who was an outsider that I heard come boldly to Jesus? And he said, Lord, I'm not even worthy for you to enter into my house. But I want to know, God, will you just speak a word? That's what he said. Will you just speak the word? And I believe that my servant will be healed. And then what about the leper in the New Testament? If you remember the leper that came to Jesus, who came to him in a very modest way, but he came very confidently. I know that I'm unclean. But when he said, yes, Lord, if you will, if you can just make me whole. He was not mainstream. He was not one that was accepted, but this leper from the outside reached by faith. While he was kept from everybody else. And then what about the man that was sick with palsy? Do y'all remember that he had a couple of friends that let him down from the rooftop? How that they couldn't get inside the building because it was overly crowded? Remember that as they were letting him in, while Jesus was teaching, he never said a word. Because of their faith and their determination, while they were not mainstream like everybody else, they let their friend down from the roof. Y'all not hearing me today. Because they were determined that whatever it takes to get into his presence, I'm going to press forward. It didn't matter how others looked at them. It didn't matter what others thought of them. All they had was one thing in their mind. If I could just get into his presence. Yes, because if I can just press my way into his presence by faith, then it doesn't matter what I do to get there, whether I crawl, whether I climb, whether I jump, or even if I tear the roof off, I'm going to get into the presence of God. Y'all not hearing me? Now, what I want to ask you today is when you have a drive of faith like this, the question is, who can say what God won't do for you? When you have faith like this, I want to know, inquiring minds want to know, who can say what God won't do? As a matter of fact, no one can dictate what God will do for me when I move towards him in faith. You don't know what he'll put in my hand if I move to him in faith. You don't know what door he'll open if I move to him in faith. You don't know what way that he'll make for me. You can't let other folk, I need a praying church here today. You can't let other folk decide for you what God can do in your life. Oh, my God. All you got to do is just have faith and trust in him. I want to talk to somebody here today. Who is it that will say that, God, I know that you will? Who is it that will say today, God, I know that there is a door that you can open if only I have the faith? Now, who's to say what door he's got planned to open for you right now? Can I say that? Mm-hmm. While you yourself may be thinking that it's time to throw in the towel. Yes, but who's to say right now, and I need somebody to say today, that God might just have you in the right place while you are under the pressure that you are under. Who's to say that God is not about to show himself strong while you think that God gotta first get you up, clean you off, and get you all prepped up, prettied up, Botoxed up? God says, I'm gonna reach you right where you are while you're in the condition that you're in, and I'm about to show myself strong in your life. Can you say amen? You see, if the Lord be for me, then my question is, who can be against me? Yes, you've just got to get into his presence. I need somebody to say that right now. I've just got to get into his presence. And the only way that I can get into his presence is if I've got to get there by faith. That's what faith does. Uh-huh. Faith can transform this place. Yes, from a place where you are right now into a place of extreme blessings. Yes, faith can transform that house that you live in into a place of extreme blessings. Oh, yes. You think because you're living in an apartment that this is where it's all going to end up. But by faith, that apartment building can be transformed. Faith can restructure whatever you have that's hanging on by a simple thread. It's almost over. He can take that car that's not running right, and by faith, I'm just trying to tell you, God can transform that thing into an extreme blessing. And I don't want to call any names, but I know somebody. They had a car, and I got to put this in. They had a car, and the only thing that car was going to ever get was a couple of dollars of gas. It wasn't going to get no oil. It wasn't going to get no air in the tires. It wasn't going to get washed. And the person ain't dirty and untidy at all, but it ain't going to get cleaned out too much. And I checked the oil in that car. They said, well, you check the oil. And I put the stick in, and I didn't have to rub it off. And I put the stick in again, and I didn't have to rub it off. And I said, start it up so the oil will come up. And then I told him to turn it off. I stuck it in again, and still wasn't on the stick. I've never known a car to run without any oil at all, but by faith. I don't know. And then let me tell you the whole story. When they got ready to trade that car in for a new car, I don't know who the salesman was, but he gave her pretty good for that car that ran with no oil. And if you talk to that person, they'll tell you that new car just don't run like that old car. Because when you've got faith, oh shucks, it can transform the way things operate. Come on, y'all, clap your hands in here. So let me put this in today. You see, for me, just for Don now, Black History Month is all about observing victories. That were won by raw faith. Raw faith is when circumstances brings out the best in you. So while people of color may have been oppressed,
It was raw faith that got billion-dollar Troy Taylor to be the third largest privately held and the sixth largest independent Coca-Cola distributor in all of the United States. He's down in Florida now. And then it was by raw faith that George E. Johnson Sr., the founder of Johnson & Johnson, the product, it moved him to be the first African American to be on the American Stock Exchange. And it was by raw faith that catapulted Barrett Gordy, the seventh of eight children, out of, I think, Mississippi, somewhere in the South. Yes. But he moved from the pit to the palace in the spotlight, to a recording producer, a film producer, and a television producer. And to this day, Motown still moves mountains by faith. Y'all don't hear me. All I'm trying to tell you is, by the power of God, with your faith, it will make the last be first, and the first shall be last. Clap your hands and tell your neighbor, I just got a motivation to get up and go somewhere. Oh, Lord. And I just might be talking to somebody whose car is on the last leg, whose mortgage payment is past due. Oh, God. But if you got faith, somebody say it will transform. Yeah, now let me work a little bit and then I'm going to come right back. You see, it's right here that we understand that oftentimes the folk that are extremely religious, I'm still talking about Israel and the lepers, sometimes it's people that are extremely religious, they don't have the same raw faith. You can say amen. They got all of the floss, but they don't have the faith. And let me go ahead and let you tweet, post, text, chat this. Faith without floss, without faith, is foolishness. So if you flossing and you ain't got no faith, then to me, that's just plain foolishness, because it's not going to last. Because only what you do for God is going to last. So you don't always have that same raw faith because you're religious to get things done. You see, some folk that claim faith, they've been sheltered too long. I'm about to help you in the scriptures. You know the disciples, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Thaddeus, and Judas, and Bartholomew, and you know all of them. And Jesus tells anybody to do anything extreme, it looks like the disciples had the religiosity, but they didn't have the faith always. Because Jesus went to the disciples and he told them, I want you to feed 5,000. But they said, send them away. They never considered that when Jesus told them to feed 5,000, that he wasn't asking them to take a dime out of their pocket. He said, feed 5,000, but he didn't ask them for none of their lunch money. So if Jesus said, feed them, then that means that he's about to do something extreme and he don't need anything from you. Jesus had to have a plan if he was about to feed 5,000 with two fish and five barley loaves. He knows that he is about to do something that is not ordinary, but extraordinary. And people who are religious always count dollars and cents that don't make sense in faith. And that's what faith does in us. It knows how to get self out of the way. Come on, somebody. And to expect a miracle to be performed. Let me help somebody right here. If God tells you to do a thing that is above your income grade, Mm-hmm. I want you to do it, and I got my eye on it. But you look at your bank account, and it ain't gonna work there. And then you look at your wallet, it ain't gonna work there. And then they broke too. Hey, ain't no use in calling her. Ain't no use in calling him. How many of y'all have to say, they ain't no better off than I am? So now, I don't. Now, God, you want me to do what with what? Outside of the scope of my ability financially, this is beyond my skill set. I don't have the training. But they just called me and told me the job is mine. Then that means that God is about to operate through your faith. Uh-huh. Can I be a little prophetic right here? Is it all right if I get just a little prophetic right here? The next challenge in your life, it's going to be a challenge of your faith. What God is about to do in your life, you didn't go to school for it. What God is about to do in your life, you don't have the bank account for it. What God is about to do in your life, you don't have the friends that have it. You've just got to believe God. Not for something little either, because the vision that God is giving you right now, somebody say, he's talking about me. God is about to move some things in your life that's going to cause you to wonder, can this really happen? Come on, somebody. Somebody had a dream last night. I feel this year. Somebody had a dream last night that when you came into the year 2021, that this is your year to declare that God is about to move mighty in my life. Yes, you're now trying to let those around you know that God is about to make a move. But I want to let you know it's too gigantic for you to convince your friends. Come on, somebody. The vision is so big that you ought not to frustrate yourself trying to convince somebody else what God is about to do. But I need you to stand on your feet wherever you are and say, my faith steps are ordered by the Lord. And every step I take and every move I make for the rest of this year is going to be a faith move. Can you say yes? I feel it here. Yes, the disciples represents the religious folk. So what I want to tell y'all today is don't depend on just church folk to encourage you. Because oft time all they're concerned about is their own selves. But you've got to step out on faith and tell the Lord, work on me. Come on, somebody. And that's how God associates himself with you, because everybody has an opinion about what God can do. But what I believe about the Lord is that he can do exceeding abundant above all that you could ever ask or all that you could ever think. Come on, somebody. And know today that nobody can dictate what God is about to do in your life. So what I want you to do is stop waiting on folk to encourage you and go ahead and encourage yourself. Stop waiting on people to recommend something for you to do. All you've got to do is step out on faith. Go ahead and say it today. Mama, I love you, darling, but I've got to step out on my own. Go ahead and encourage yourself right now. Lift up those holy hands and say, in God, I put all my trust. Go ahead and tell the Lord, Lord, here I come. Lord, here I come. And all I have is faith. Oh, yes, because if you can believe it, then God can do it. I need somebody here today to say, I believe it. When you got faith, you don't have to argue with nobody. Oh, yes. You can put it in the chat box right now that God is about to move. Somebody say, God is about to move. Oh, yes. So here is the text now. Here are four lepers that have been rejected, but they exhibited a great quality of faith. They are not in the mainstream, but they are outsiders. Oh, yes. And is there anybody here that have read the Bible long enough? You've passed over the pages to understand that lepers, all they were disease. They were ostracized. They were criticized. They were outside. They were downtrodden. Nobody could do anything with a leper. Am I right about it? I want you to notice another thing, that sick folk have to stay with sick folk. So what do I have you now? I've got isolation. I've got to stay in my own place. And isolation brings about degradation. Whenever you get isolated, you can't touch nobody. You can't talk to nobody. Your mind start playing tricks on you. Come on, somebody. Give me some monitors. Yes. When you're by yourself and you ain't with nothing but just the sick folk. Oh, yes. Can't nobody encourage nobody. Look around you now. The folk that are closer to you, they're just as broke as you are. They're hurting just like you are hurting. They're outside just like you are outside. But what I want you to do is you get with that somebody that's out there like you, and you tell them, I'm not gonna sit here in my circumstances and die like this. I'm about to get up. I'm about to get up. Oh, yes. And I know that we're in distant times from one another. Oh, yes. But if you here today with somebody from your household, grab them by the arm and tell them, we are about to come out of this. You grab somebody, grab them by the arm. I ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. You ain't nobody. I ain't nobody. But oh, we about to come out of this. Come on, man. We're coming out. Oh, we're coming out. Oh, we're coming out. We're coming out of this. Can you say yes? Oh, yes. We're coming out of this. Go ahead and give a high five and say together. We ain't gonna die here. We are not gonna stop here. Yes. Now I know you may be asking, why all of a sudden did these lepers get all of this energy? Because when your back is pressed against the wall and you ain't got nothing to lose, you done gave all that you got to everybody else, and now here you are. Now tell your neighbor, don't be pitiful. Tell your neighbor, don't be sad. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. Tell your neighbor, don't throw in the towel. But oh, neighbor, if we just have faith, I believe the Lord will provide. So where you going? Didn't God tell you that no weapon formed against you is gonna prosper? So you tell the devil, I know you got weapons, but here I come to take back everything that's been taken from me. Look at the lepers moving to wash the Syrian army. And the Bible says that when they got closer, all of a sudden, the Syrians heard a thunderous noise, a thunderous noise. They heard thousands of horses and chariots. But you tell the devil, it ain't nobody but just me. But when I step in faith, I make a sound like all of heaven is on my side. Oh yes, oh yes, the battle is not yours, but it all. This battle, it is the Lord. But what I went through prepared me. Everything that happened to me to take me out made me stronger. I need you to take every page of your diary that you keep going back reading, shedding tears over, about who left you, who didn't stay with you, who left you high and dry. That diary is not a good memory. Because I don't see on a page where you wrote, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, that relationship would have killed me. You were laying beside somebody that wanted to take your life. And God wouldn't let it happen. You were in the car with somebody. The only reason they asked you to come with them is because they wanted to destroy you. God didn't let it happen. While you think that all of that was to destroy you, God said, I was preparing you for something that you couldn't handle then. But God said, I'm getting you ready now. This is your season. This is your year. And how are you going to get it? By faith. Huh? The victory is mine. Who here today can lift up holy hands and say, I'm more than a conqueror? We had a conversation. When you give your best, people don't appreciate it. They minimize your best. You're working for people that don't appreciate your gifts and your talents. Don't be mad at them, because they can't see how God has gifted you. It's not for them to recognize God's giftedness to you. All they know how to do is just take advantage of it. They're intimidated by what God has put inside of you. I'm talking to somebody right now. They're intimidated by the way God have you to do the same thing that they do, but they can't do it like you do it. And they have more than you have. I can only imagine that when these lepers walk back in there with all of their food and all of them clothes, they look like them guys, I know they didn't have it, but they had T-bone steaks, they had ribeyes, they had New York, they had, man, them jokers had Giorgio Buttini's, they had I don't know all of the fashions. I could get into some of the Italian dresses, but they come in there, and wait a minute. It's amazing how people who used to look down at you, when they see God bringing you up, all of a sudden, everything, all right, you know me and you, we good. You remember that? Yeah, I remember. But I need to tell somebody now, because of what God is going to do for you in faith, I don't need you to leave here running and falling out and everything. I need you to walk out of here with a new determination. When God blesses you the way that he is about to bless you by faith, learn from what Job did. The ones that treated you so bad, be prepared, because God is going to mandate that you bless them. See, Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. And I'm going to make the gift that you give them, the help that you contribute, I'm going to let that just wrench them on the inside. Because God's going to leave it so that you're the only person that's left. These lepers, they couldn't come in. But when they came with what they had, I'm sure that everybody opened the doors and said, oh yeah, come on in. We love you. We're crazy about you. I can imagine that the king said, I'm going to make a new law. Lepers from now on can live in the best houses, live on the main street. Huh? I'm trying to tell y'all something. It's about to happen now. God is about to make a move. And don't you let this system dupe you with making you think that this is about who's who and this and that and this and that. This is a spiritual warfare. This is about those of faith. Those without faith. I love the Lord today. How about you? This is an opportunity, as the host online is going to extend it to you, to come to Jesus. You'll see it come up in the chat box that you can accept Jesus as your personal Savior, because you don't have to be in this building. The Lord that I serve, my God, is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Him being omnipotent, all-powerful, He can do what He does right where you are. You don't have to be in a church. Contrary to popular and religious belief, you don't have to be sitting in any certain place. You don't have to even raise your hand. And then what you have to do is you have to just believe. In your heart, just by accepting the Lord as your Savior, meaning that, Lord, I believe that you came. I believe that you died. I believe that you rose. And I believe that you did it all for me. By that virtue of belief, you are confessing that you are no longer self-sufficient. You need a Savior. You just become a person who is repenting. You're accepting that I cannot be without you. I want this to be simple. How do I get it? You believe. It's by faith. Because here's what's happening. While you think that you're choosing him by your release, he chose you. You're just making a discovery now of what God did before the foundation of the world. When did he do it? Before you even got here. While you were a sinner, I died for you. And I need you, wherever you are today, to go ahead and just accept the gift of salvation that is given to you only through Jesus Christ. The grace of God is a process of you learning that God's riches have been given at Christ's expense. If you're without a church home, you have an opportunity, as we're starting to continue to build what is considered an online church ministry, where we obligate ourselves to you to help you, to spiritually feed you and to warm you and to encourage you and to inspire you. You just let them know. It's all a part of a process. My big thing is I want to get people into the kingdom of God, where there is protection, where there is provision, where God's promise is fulfilling. God bless you. I also am asking you today to take your opportunity to give. What is the giving for? The giving helps us to father ministry, to just reach into places that we didn't even know that we could go. On the other side of that, it gives you the opportunity to be a recipient of God's promise, where he says, give and it shall be given unto you. So it's a multi-purpose event when you give. You're worried about giving to something and you
don't know where the proceeds are going to go. Each week that you see things changing, even as you're looking into this imagery, you're looking at this video, everything that you're seeing, we're putting it right back into a place where needs are. So we thank you for your giving. The ways that you can do it and the methods are presented to you there. To those that are here in the church ministry, stand to your feet as everyone in your household. I leave you in prayer today. Eternal God, as we leave this place in this worship, we never leave your presence. Thank you that you prepared us. Bypass our faith today speaks volumes to our relationship with you. Thank you, God, that somebody today was blessed, healed, and delivered. Thank you for what you're doing for my sister, for my brother right now. God, somebody still listening, somebody still hearing, somebody still rejoicing right now because of what you're doing in their life. They're at home all by themselves. They're at home all by themselves now, Lord, and they're just shouting and they're rejoicing. Thank you, sir, for just making them free today. Thank you for reminding them that all along it's been you working behind the scenes, making things happen in their life. Thank you, God, for showing yourself strong. In the mighty name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, we'll see you again here next week. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Song of intercession. All of these songs we keep singing, all of this praise we keep bringing, yeah. When it's all said and done, yeah, we just want you to come. Hey! These hands we keep raising, prayers we keep praying, when it's all said and done, yeah, we just want you to come. So here's our prayer, Lord. It's all said and done, yeah. We just want you to come.